The world makes up my pictures, not me. Lee Friedlander.
Welcome to Through My Lens with Clay Daly and special guest Daniel Alvarez.
All right, we're back, and I'm Clay. I'm very happy to bring all of you folks listening to someone I've followed for years. It's probably been at least 4 or 5 years on Instagram.
Yeah, it's been about that long.
Yeah. And this is Daniel Alvarez.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
How's it going? Welcome to Through My Lens.
Thanks, man. It's an honor to be on here, man. I'm always kind of surprised whenever somebody asks me for my opinion on photography stuff, or even to be, you know, a part of stuff like this. So it's always a humbling experience for me. So thanks again. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate you coming on, and thank you for for listening and checking the show out. I think the way that I don't know if how we found each other, but you used to shoot film. You still shoot film. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say 90% of what I do is film photography, regardless of what I'm doing or who I'm shooting for. Mm-hmm. I primarily do film, but I do have some digital equipment just because of, you know, either client requests or depending on who I'm shooting for, you know, it's looking at quick turnarounds and things like that. So digital does still play a big part. Mm-hmm. But for my own work and for specific projects, I primarily use film.
Okay, cool. What is the reason you're sticking with film?
I'm part of the last generation to grow up in an analog childhood, you know, mm-hmm. and we sort of grew up into a digital world.
Right.
So you know, when I was really little, my dad was a photographer. He worked as a photographer through the 80s.
Oh.
So when I was really little, you know, I spent time with him in a dark room, you know, and, he took a lot of photos of me, as a kid, you know, on film and doing darkroom prints and whatnot. So that's kind of how, I grew up, I grew up being around film and exposed to film photography at a really early age. So I just kind of stuck with it. Mm-hmm. Even through, you know, in high school, I took a photography class that was a film photography class, and we would play in the dark room and make darkroom prints. And then again, in college, you know, I got a degree in media arts, which is kind of like a catch-all, right? We did a little mm-hmm. bit of everything mm-hmm. art related. And then, you know, I took a photography class again. Well, I took two. One was a film photography, and then a digital photography one. So it kind of always just spoke to me. Mm-hmm. So I just stuck with film for myself.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Do you do your own developing, or do you send away?
I used to do it a lot more than I do now. I had a son not too long ago, so mm-hmm. you know, sitting down and taking time to develop is a little bit hard now.
Yeah, I know all too well.
I'll usually do black and white myself, mm-hmm. But if I have color or I have slide film, I'll send it out and I'll develop it that way. But you know, since having my son, it's been kind of difficult to actually sit down and do developing myself.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, your style of photography, what would you describe if someone were to ask you, like, you know, describe yourself, your style, what would you describe yourself as? What style of photography would you describe yourself as?
People have asked me that before, and I always have a hard time describing it. So mm-hmm. I've always asked other people how they would describe my work, and usually what I get is documentary or photojournalistic, which I think is pretty, I guess, would be pretty fitting.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in reality, you know, I just try and find a topic and then go express it, you mm-hmm. know, and try and tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like putting a label down, I don't know. I mean, that's usually what people tell me, is that, you know, I have a photojournalistic approach to most things, or a documentary approach to most things.
Does that speak to you? Like, you know, photojournalism, documentary style photography, is that something that you are actually passionate about?
Yeah, I've actually had the opportunity to help out with the Associated Press. and I've been around a lot of, you know, people who that's what they do for a living, right? Mm-hmm. They're photojournalists.
Right.
So I would say that, yeah, that's probably a heavy influence in the type of photography that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd probably, you know, to be honest with you, then, you know, becoming a father has also been a big influence in the way I shoot. You know, before all of that, before I had a son, before I started, you know, helping out with Associated Press and that stuff, I always kind of felt like I was just, you know, let's say I was going to go out and shoot street photography for the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd just try and find an interesting scene or something and then just sort of hang out in the area. And, you know, if I got a photo, it would be, you know, one photo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now I'm looking at more of doing series and long-term projects. So those kind of things they've affected the way I see and the way I work.
Mm-hmm. When looking at, I know at some point you were shooting some sort of local events.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, like, because I try to go out and do sort of documentary or street photography, and I always feel so intimidated.
Uh-huh.
Like, how do you get past that point of sort of capturing, you know, like there are moments where people are sort of either protesting or they're having... maybe a visual or something. Like how do you get out of the comfort zone of you know, putting yourself in a position to be able to capture that? Is it like a mental exercise or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a skill that you have to develop.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been kind of a friendly person, I've always been pretty willing to approach people that I don't know and, you know, spark up a conversation or whatever. So I think that helped me just from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But typically what I'll do, like not too long ago, I happened to be in San Francisco. I was visiting a couple of friends who have a camera shop out there. And when I was walking back towards the Civic Center area of San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
you cross in front of City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And there happened to be a couple there. It was a group of, I believe, Sudanese Americans that were protesting in front of City Hall for what was going on in Sudan and with the president out there, al-Bashir.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it from kind of a far distance, but I made it my goal. I was heading there. I wanted to see what was going on. So, you know, my need to know what was going on kind of mm-hmm. took over. So I headed over there and I came and I saw what was going on. So what I did was I just kind of stood there and watched, and I was just observant of what was going on. And, you know, I always carry a camera with me. It's usually my Leica M6.
With what focal length is it that you like to carry?
I use a 35. It's a Zeiss 35mm lens.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. I've had other lenses, 50s, 28s. But I tend to gravitate to the 35. So that's kind of what I stick to, mm-hmm. Depending on what I'm doing, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But that's kind of my walk around lens, I guess you could call it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just, you know, I just went up and I watched and I tried to observe what was going on. And then when I sort of felt comfortable, I would start bringing my camera up to, you know, to my face and start trying to compose a frame and I'd start shooting from there. You know, and typically if there's something going on that I'm not entirely too sure what they're talking about, or I'm not sure what's going on, I'll ask the people that are in the crowd,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, you know, what's going on? And usually people are pretty open to sharing what it is that they're, you know, protesting or passionate about, whatever it may be.
Right.
And then I just go from there. And then I get to a certain point where I kind of zone out, and then I'm just focused on trying to make some photos. So that's my usual approach to stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So you also do weddings, right?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Though as far as the wedding stuff goes, I don't usually tell people that or really try and get those type of jobs,
mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there's a ton of wedding photographers that are out there that are really, really good. And so when I do weddings, it's usually for people that I know, mm-hmm. or that I'm close to, right? Family, friends, that sort of stuff. And I'll do it for them. But as far as like going out there and really trying to market myself as a wedding photographer, I don't really do that.
Okay. So, you know, for me, street photography, that involves people, that is. Because I love street photography, but a lot of times it's like there aren't many people involved.
Yeah, right.
Weddings, Those two things really scare me.
Yeah.
Is your mind in the same space for both of those, or is there a different space you enter when you do weddings versus the street photography stuff or like the documentary stuff?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on the client, right? Because I've had people, you know, I had a friend in particular who, you know, he likes my film photography stuff and the style in which I shoot, you know, my documentary work. So his thing was like, you know, just shoot it on film like you normally do, and like just do your thing, and I don't even want to know that you're there, just do your thing like you normally do, which was great for me creatively, yeah. Right, because right. It's like I have nothing holding me back. I can shoot it exactly how I would normally shoot regardless of what I'm shooting, right. And then I've had other people who I've done weddings for who are very specific in what they want, right? Like they will sit down and talk about the wedding and where it's going to be and that sort of stuff. And then they will give me a shot list and they'll say, you know, these are the shots that we want to get in our photos. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on what the person wants, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, another thing that makes me extremely nervous, I'm looking at the portraits that, that section on your website.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, your website, Daniel Alvarez Photos, FOTOS.
Mm-hmm.
And Alvarez with a Z or Z, as Americans would say.
Z, yeah. Yeah.
So in the portrait section, there are some boudoir mm-hmm. pictures.
Yeah.
Another thing that I would love to do,
mm-hmm.
but extremely nervous again.
Yeah.
What you know, walk me through this process.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been really lucky and fortunate to work with some really great people. And a lot of them are, if they're not professionals, they're semi-professional models.
Mm-hmm.
So working with that type of person is actually really easy. They kind of know what to expect or what they want to do out of the photo session.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a particular idea in mind, you know, I'll run that by some people that maybe I've worked with before. If there's somebody that I've identified, you know, through other friends or other photographers and they've worked together,
mm-hmm.
and I have something in mind that I want to do that I kind of feel like their particular look would go well with my idea.
Yeah.
I'll reach out to them, you know, I'll send them an email, however they, you know, receive their business inquiries. And I'll tell them, hey, this is my idea. This is what I want to do. You know, I like your look or whatever the case may be. And then I just leave it at that. And if it's something that they're interested in, you know, I'll get a response back. Typically it'll be some kind of phone call or some email or, you know, messages through social media,
mm-hmm.
and we'll kind of get the idea down from there. So yeah, I mean, that I want to say maybe the first time I ever did a shoot like that, I was nervous,
mm-hmm.
but that was, I think I was in college still. So
how many years ago was this?
Oh man. I graduated college in 2005.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's been a while ago, but, you know, a lot of it depends on the model that you're working with,
right.
and sort of their comfort level, right? You're yeah. not gonna try and force anything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Anything that's gonna be out of what they would feel comfortable doing, you know. And then you work with them, and what you get some images, and you know, maybe it doesn't work out, or maybe it does. It just kind of, you know, it just depends on case by case, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I've thought about it. I've thought about it for a while, and mm-hmm. I don't know how to approach anyone. I guess I could mm-hmm. just go to something like Model Mayhem, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever used that?
Yeah, when I was in college, I want to say either new or fairly new, but yeah, I reached out to people on there before.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you, nothing that I ever shot with anybody out of there is anything that's on my site. You know, most of the stuff, like I said, is like most of those are within the last, you know, 5 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of get to a point where you develop your eye and you know what it is you're trying to accomplish, right? So
yeah.
It takes a while, right? You're mm-hmm. what's that saying, you know, your first 10,000 photos are your worst or something like
yeah,
that, you know. It's like it's a craft, right? You gotta practice, and you got to get to a point where you feel comfortable showing those photos as something that represents you mm-hmm. and your work.
Most of the shoots you do are film on film, the ones for the boudoir ones, or mix? It's all film. Okay.
I think there might be one or two in there that are digital, but for the most part, yeah, it's all film.
And it's 35 millimeter, not 120 film, or it's
I'm gonna say all of those on there are 35 millimeter, but I shoot medium format. I've had a 4x5 camera in the past. I love instant film.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the pack stuff's all
Gosh.
disappeared, but
Very sad.
yeah, man. So yeah, I'll it just depends on my idea or whatever project I'm working on. That'll kind of dictate what I'm gonna shoot it on.
I know that you at one point had a pack of FP 100C, right? You have no more pack film.
No, I still have a couple of boxes left, but I'm using all that as a part of a project that I'm shooting for my son. So
Oh, okay.
all my pack film, I still have a few boxes, but I'm using all that on him. So
Okay.
that'll be a little project that I'll be working on for a while. But yeah, man, I was really bummed out.
Yeah,
And
me.
actually, I think somebody started a Kickstarter not too
Yeah, they
long ago
did.
too.
They did. Doc Floor, remember from the Impossible Project? He started one, but my gosh, that Kickstarter was expensive.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unfortunate, but
Yeah.
hopefully somebody figures it out and they can bring it back, man, because it's really sad. And even thinking back, like when I was in college and would be doing stuff in photo shoots or whatever, and we would use that pack film to kind of gauge what your lighting looked like or whatever,
Right.
and then people just would just like throw them away, and now
Yeah.
everybody's like
It's
trying to
cherished.
find. Yeah, everybody's like scouring the internet looking for that stuff. So
Yeah.
it's pretty sad,
It's
but
amazing how the prices that they, if you look at eBay, oh my gosh, it's amazing. You could buy a pack of the 3000B for like $60.
yeah, I think I've seen it as high as like 80 bucks
Oh
for
my
one
gosh.
pack.
Can
It
you
was
imagine?
like,
We
geez.
were buying that for like $8 to like $12.
Yeah, seriously, you could buy a pack of it for like 8 bucks. Yeah,
Yeah. It's amazing.
it's
I have a
sad,
whole
man.
bunch of it in my mini fridge, but I'm so nervous to I don't know what to shoot. I'm it's like gold.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? That was my thing too, because I had all this pack film. Because anytime I would find it, I would buy one, right? Because I knew it's gonna disappear and the price is just gonna keep going up. So anytime I would find some, I would buy it. But then I got to this point where I was just sitting on all this pack film, and I had no idea what I was gonna do with it. And then I had my son. And I said, "Oh, this is it. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna shoot all this pack film on my son, and then someday have those for him, and he can
That's pretty awesome.
share with his family when he's older, that
Right.
sort of thing."
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And you're also digitizing it as you're shooting it, or you're just leaving it as
Yeah. So I'll scan the actual print, and then I will work on the negatives also. So I'll scan the negatives. You bleach them, and then
Yeah.
scan the negative too. So the negative I kind of like the negatives a little bit better. They kind of make a nicer scan than the print itself. But
Yeah.
that's also time, and you got to sit there and do that. So when I get a chance, I'll actually do that. Right now, I have a bunch of them sitting in a box, and I need to start bleaching them and
Yeah.
scanning them.
I have a good 50 in a box that need to be bleached. Just this the time and the smell of bleach. Ugh.
Oh yeah.
You said your father was a photographer as well. Is that what got you into photography, like solely, or were there other inspirations besides your father?
I wouldn't say solely. I think he definitely had a big impact. Because like I said, I was around it at a very young age. It's kind of funny to think about it now, but I'm doing it to my son now, right? Because he's a little guy, but he's around all the film and everything. So as he gets older, it'll probably be the same thing. But yeah, so it was him. I had some really good friends who definitely influenced me, right? And then just people in general that I look to. I'm a huge Gary Winogrand fan. So I love his work, and Lee Friedlander definitely is a big influence. I really love a lot of the stuff that he would do with models too, right?
Yeah.
So on a grand scale, I would say like those two are definitely big influences. But then, you know, photography has been more, I don't see it as a hobby, right? It's definitely something that I'm very passionate about. And, you know, like we talked about before, if I could do it full time, mm-hmm. That's what I would do. Right.
Right.
So, you know, it's been really good in the sense that, yeah, I've gotten to meet, and make friends with a lot of really, really great photographers. You know, I try and put myself around other people that I admire. I admire their work.
Right.
And if I can learn something from them, you know, then I do that, you know? So, mm-hmm. You know, like I said, it's been a good thing for me because I've gotten to meet a lot of people, you know, like you, right, on the East Coast, mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. you know, I got a friend in Panama, you know, Lebanon, and the UK, you know, it's definitely exposed me to a lot of different people, a lot of different styles. And,
yeah.
You know, I would say that everybody that I know through photography kind of influences me in some way. Either I see something that they do that I appreciate and I like, and then it might, you know, make a difference in the way I do mm-hmm. my own work. Right.
Right.
So I think everybody kind of influences me in some way.
Cool. How old is your son now?
He's almost a year old.
Oh, okay. So there isn't a camera in his hand yet.
No. Well, he's got a toy camera, but no, not a real one yet.
Okay. You know, my son, him and I, we go on outings all the time. Video is more his thing, but I have given him instant cameras. And he loves it, and especially those little insect minis. They're great for kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I just wish there were better cameras made by Fuji. But yeah, no. At least your kid will learn how to compensate for the lacking cameras.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I'll definitely be passing on all my cameras to him when he's old enough to use them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Your go-to camera, you said, is your Leica, right?
My Leica M6.
M6. Now, some of these games that you go to that you shoot, that mm-hmm. you take your Leica along with your long zoom lenses, and or is it always just a long zoom lens when you're doing these type of sports events?
Yeah, so I'll typically, my Leica is usually around my neck, so regardless of what I'm doing, mm-hmm. I'll take the Leica along. You know, I'll load it up with some Tri-X or Portra. Mm-hmm. Those are my two go-to films.
The Portra, the 400 or 160?
Yeah, either 400 or I'll sometimes use the 800.
Oh, okay.
But I'll either pull it a stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what I can get a hold of. Okay. I'm not super specific, to be honest with you, as far as what films I use. If I'm going to do a project, I'll use one particular film for that project, and I'll only use that film for that project. Mm-hmm. But I'll shoot with whatever. I mean, people have given me, you know, 15-year-old expired film, and I'll go shoot that and see what comes out with it. So
right.
I always like experimenting with different films.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as like the sports stuff that you've seen, it's usually Tri-X or the Portra 400.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I'll take my digital camera or my digital equipment because that's what I need for that particular, you know, job or whatever it is that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I always take my Leica with me. It's always around my neck. So
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was loving that. I guess you had a GoPro. Was it a GoPro on top of your camera?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I got one of the, they just stopped making it, the Session, Heroes Session. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got one of those, and I'll throw it on top of my Leica and just, you know, do a little bit of video.
Yeah.
I've never been super, super big into video, but, you know, it's fun to kind of play around and, you know, put together a little one-minute video, you know?
Yeah. I love seeing behind the scenes stuff like that. Like especially if you know like you've been sharing the images that have, you know, that you captured at the game, and then just to see sort of moments like that. I love that. You know, it's a sort of peek behind the scenes of what it would be like to be there.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I've gotten a lot of people have told me that they really like those. So
yeah,
that might be something I'll do a little bit more of or kind of fine tune, I guess. Because to be honest with you, the video stuff. It's not something that I've ever been really big into,
mm-hmm.
But it's kind of fun, you know. So
yeah, If you had a chance to use a time machine, what would you tell, you just graduating out of college or just graduating out of high school, you, in terms of photography, what advice would you give you?
Oh man.
Buy more pack film.
Buy more pack film because it's gonna disappear. No, you know what? When I got out of college, I was kind of burnt out with just being and just the college experience. And I did so much artwork through college that the last the like 2 or 3 years right after college, I really didn't shoot anything. I just kind of was burnt out, and I didn't want to do anything, creative wise. I was just done. And unfortunately, it took a friend of mine, who he passed away, and I only had one photo of he and I,
Oh, wow.
and it was somebody that I knew for, I'd known him for quite a long time, but when his family was asking everybody for photos, because they were going to do a collage, right? They, I was one of the first people that they went to, and I only had one photo of him and I, and it kind of hit me like a brick wall, right? It was a really bad feeling to lose somebody, and then only have that one photo, right? Not, I mean, obviously I have all the memories and all that stuff, but to actually have that tactile photo that you could hold, it was really difficult for me. So when that happened, I decided that I wasn't going to let something like that ever happen again to me, right? So I got back, well, I don't want to say I got back into photography, but I took it more serious at that point, and I started just wanting to document and photograph everything and everyone around me, right? So that's probably something I would go back and tell myself is don't stop, right? Keep doing it, and then maybe buy some more pack film.
That is something that I sort of struggle with. I know photography is I'm obsessed with it, but the problem with me is that I don't like my grandma, when she passed away, I said to myself I should shoot more so that I have images of all of these people who are aging, and yet I don't as much as I would like to. You know what I mean? And it's like I say I do shoot, but they're not as pro I'm not as prolific as I would like to be, in terms of family and sort of family, and even just capturing pictures of my house. Like I don't have I just bought this house, the house before this one. I don't have images of what the house looked like. I mean, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
And it takes you have to be very conscious of it too, you know what I mean? It's a when we're getting ready to leave for the day, I got to grab my son's bag with his diapers and his food and all that stuff. And sometimes it's like, God, I don't want to bring my camera with me. It's just another thing I have to carry, right? But then the flip side of that coin is, there might something might happen, some little special moment, right? And I'll, maybe I'm not, maybe I'll miss it, right? If I don't have the camera. So, that's kind of how I kind of deal with it.
Okay, by the way, did you hear you heard the last episode with Ant? You heard the last two episodes before that pertaining manipulations on through my lens. So basically I responded to another podcast that were talking about replacing skies is creating lazy photographers.
Oh yeah, with the Photoshop stuff. Yeah, I do remember that one.
So where's your where you're a film shooter, so there isn't much Photoshop, but you I mean if you were printing of course in the dark room, you would be dodging and burning, correct? What is your feeling about manipulation that is happening with digital photography?
Just on a personal level, I try to do as little editing as possible, right? So, I might do a little exposure compensating or something like that, or kind of fix the colors a little bit if they're a little bit off. But you know, that's really about it. So I don't manipulate, or I try not to do anything other than those sort of, you know, little bits of edit at all.
So for you, especially for you being documentary slash journalism, photography, for you, that is not something you would do if you were to be presenting at work. But like for your personal work as well, you don't, right?
No, I don't. I don't do it at all. And then, I mean, even if it was something like a, you know, something I was doing purposely, because I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to work on, let's say, like a multimedia project or something like that,
Right.
then I'm going to be obvious, and I'm going to tell people, yeah, I did, you know, I did this in Photoshop, or whatever the case may be. But as far as like work that I'm doing for other people, work for myself, I don't try to edit or alter the photo in any way to the point where it's manipulating the truth. I try and stick to the truth, and then just, you know, explain if I have to explain, you know, I'll do that in my caption, right?
Right.
So yeah, I don't do anything like that
How
in
do you
my own
feel about
work.
other people doing it?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it as long as you're being honest and upfront with it. But if you try and hide it, to say, like, let's say you're trying to win money from a photo competition or something, and you do something like that, then that's a big problem, right? you're
Right.
you're you're not being truthful in your work.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree. The last episode was with Ant Pruitt, and he was discussing the community, the photography community. What is your experience with the photography community? Like, do you get sort of that aggressive, mean, sort of commentary happening on anything you post, like, on Instagram or whatever?
You know, the I guess, if you want to call it the industry, right, is pretty cutthroat. There's not a whole lot of people out there that are gonna want to show you how they accomplished a photo, right?
Right.
Especially if it's like something like they got front page of whatever magazine, or they won an award for it, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so competitive. And anytime that you share something or you post something, there's going to be critics. I'm okay with people giving me critiques on my work, as long as it's constructive criticism, right?
Right.
But if you're just commenting on something and saying, "Oh, this sucks," but you're not telling me why it sucks or what it is that you don't like about it, then you know, I'm more likely to just ignore you than give you the time of day.
Right. Because that helps neither you nor the person who made the comment.
Right,
Right.
exactly.
Right.
And, you know, and like I said, I have no problem with the conversations or even debates, right? You know, like one of the big ones is like, you know, why do you shoot with a Leica, right? You're like a Leica snob or whatever, right? And to be honest, you know, I was one of those people before I owned a Leica. I was like, why do these people, like, why are they shooting with a Leica? What's so special about the Leica? And instead of giving people shit about it, I went and used one. I borrowed one from a friend, and after I used it, it felt very intuitive to me, right?
Right.
It felt very natural to shoot with it, especially considering the way that I shoot, right? So I at that point, I was like, well, I gotta get one.
Yeah.
And that's what I did, right? I got an M4. I used an M4 before I had my M6. But that's not to say that that's the only. I'm not going to tell somebody that they have to go out and get a Leica, right?
Right.
It's what's work. It's that's what's that what's that's what works for me. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to work for you, right?
Right.
It just depends on your style, right?
Yeah.
But those people always pop up every now and then, right? They're like, you know, the Leica snobs or the Leica haters or whatever.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just equipment, right? It's
Right.
just the tool that's going to help me make my photos.
Exactly.
So I try not to give those people too much attention, one way or the or another. Unless, like I said, if it's a constructive criticism that I'm getting, then I'm going to pay a little bit more attention.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes some of these proponents and some of these people who are against it are a little bit too extreme. Like, there's a middle path, right?
Yeah.
You know,
Right.
so like, figure out what the middle path is and live there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, that's gonna, I think, just it's in the nature of people, right, to do things like that.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, I try not to give that too much attention.
Right.
I think people focus on the wrong things too much, to
oh,
be honest
gosh.
With you.
I totally agree.
You know, the focusing on the gear is pointless to me, right? Because in 6 months there's going to be another camera that comes out, and regardless of who's making it, they're going to tell you that it's the latest and greatest, and you must have it,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
And I think the focus needs to be more on learning with what you have, right? Learn your equipment the best that you can,
right?
And then try and make the best work that you can.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. And then just focus on the work.
Yeah, I agree.
Just do that.
Yep. Even if it's just your iPhone or an Android phone, right? I mean,
right.
Is work. The content is content.
And I mean, there's people that have, you know, that have made legitimate, very well done movies on phones,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't mean that you know, if that's what you have and that's what you can use, then use that. That doesn't mean you have to go and put yourself in debt by buying a RED camera or something. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Any myths of you know, for let's say someone is into photography, any myths of photography that, you know, you've been doing this for a while, any myths that you would like to demystify for people, or anything that actually is a real true you know, passionate thing that people should know about with photography in your mind?
I mentioned earlier, you know, I think something I've always done is try to put myself around people that are better than me, mm-hmm. or that I consider them better than me, and try and learn from them. Even the people that might not know as much as I thought they did, I've learned something from everybody. I would say just put yourself around people that you appreciate their work, or their talent, or whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
and try and learn from them. That's the best, I guess, little piece of advice I could give anybody is to do that. Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate to, like I said, photography has been very good to me,
mm-hmm.
and I've been able to meet a lot of very talented people because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and learn and grow from everybody. So yeah, just stay off of the forums and don't get sucked into the gear forums.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah. You know, being that you do documentary and sort of slash photojournalist stuff, let's talk about like your street photography. Is there something that you're not willing to shoot?
Right now in the Bay Area in California, we have a real big housing crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the homeless problem around here has been really, really bad. So I'm not going to do the homeless man or woman, you know, slumped over on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
That's a photo I'm not going to take. That's cheap.
Yeah.
It's not going to do anything to help that person. And it's just going to make, you know, you look like an ass, you know.
Yeah.
That's not to say that it can't be done properly.
Right.
Because there's organizations here in the Bay Area that are working with, the homeless population, and they're trying to help them get off the street. So if that's a topic that you're interested in, there's avenues to go about it. Right.
Right.
But as far as like walking up to somebody who's, you know, clearly down and out and struggling just to survive, you know, I'm not going to walk up to them with my camera and put my lens in their face and try and, you know, make a photo of them. That's not something I would do.
Mm-hmm. I wish more people would actually view this the same way as you. You know, there's a photographer who I admired, who I actually spoke to before, you know, in forums or in a sort of discussion, Discord basically. And there were some pictures of a drunk man who was homeless, mm-hmm. and I couldn't believe the image was taken. It feels like because a homeless person, if they're homeless, well, everyone sort of has a home. The street just happens to be their home at the moment.
Right.
And so it's kind of an invasion of privacy in a way. Mm. I mean, they just happen to be in public, but it is, they have nowhere else to go. So that is sort of privacy for them.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the like I said, there's a big, it's really, really bad here right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even in some of the tent communities that we have, you know, they have their own little, it's their own little society. You mm-hmm. know, they have like their mayor, and they have people that work like security. Wow. Right. And, you know, it's a real big, you know, it's a little sub society within those communities. Right. So even just getting, you know, if you got too close, it could be a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I think people do like that, you know, mm-hmm. That I don't think it's kind of tasteless in my opinion, you know? There's like I said, there's ways that you could go about it. And if you really wanted to document that, you know, get with one of these community-based organizations that's actually trying to help these people, and, you know, and see if you can work with them.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, and some of these people are veterans who served this country, who came back to nothing.
Right. Yeah. There's all sorts of issues associated with that. That, you know, it might not even have to do with what the stereotypical reasoning behind being homeless would be. Right.
Right.
You know, there's one particular person that that I would always run into. And he would usually be near this restaurant that I like to go to, mm-hmm. You know, and so I struck up a conversation with him one time, and I asked him, you know, how he was doing. And he told me, you know, his story was basically like, he had a full-time job. He had his own place, had his car, everything. He got into a car accident, you know, and he couldn't go back to work. And, wow. You know, 2 months after losing his job, you know, he lost everything. That's how he ended up on the streets. Right.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of the same problems that any one of us could have. Right. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, in a matter of 2 months, he ended up on the streets.
Yeah. It all could just snowball it before you know it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Wow. Well, Daniel, I really appreciate you coming on to chat.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Not a problem. I appreciate you having me on. Like I said, I'm always kind of surprised whenever somebody seeks me out for my opinion on anything photo related. So it's all, like I said, it's humbling for me.
I've followed you for years, man. Like I've appreciated your photography for a long time. And, you know, we've chatted a little bit, back and forth, in the DMs, and I thought it'd be awesome to have you on.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts you want to leave the listeners with? Anything, projects?
Yeah, I would say maybe, you know, just seek out something that you're passionate about, that you want to find out more about, or, you know, even if it's just documenting your little family like I'm doing, mm-hmm. You know, go and do it and make a project out of it and try and do the best that you can with it.
Very cool, man. Tell everyone where they can find you, where you'd like them to check you out.
Yeah, so my website is danielalvarezphotos.com, and that's FOTOS for photos. And then I'm on Instagram at MrMisfit06.
Very cool. Yeah, everyone go check out this stuff. He's a cool guy to follow.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
All right.
All right.